95.7 Ben FM presents Her Story with Kathy Romano.
Good morning and welcome to Her Story. I'm your host, Kathy Romano. Hope for Haley is a nonprofit transforming the conversation around mental health and building hope for adolescents through connection, awareness, resources, and education. Founded by Haley's parents, the organization was incorporated to honor the loving memory of Haley Jackson, who died by suicide at the age of 16, and aid in saving the lives of those struggling with their mental health. Haley's mom, Christine Jackson, is joining me today to share Haley's story and the efforts of Hope for Haley. Hi, Christine. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Hi, Kathy. Thank you so much for having me.
So let's start with Haley and what you'd like to share about her story.
Sure. Haley was definitely a force of nature from the time she was born, really. She was always smiling, full of life. She walked at just 8 months old, and she really never slowed down after that.
Oh my gosh, 8 months?
At 8 months. And when I say 8 months, I mean she was walking our neighborhood street.
Oh my
gosh. Just a couple steps. And she did not slow down after that. She enjoyed anything and everything that required movement. Started young with dance and moved to gymnastics. And before you know it, she was doing field hockey and cheerleading and basketball, lacrosse, even water skiing. And of course, her passion was running. When she was school-aged, now, of course, she did all of these sports and activities through her elementary, middle school, and even high school years. But when she was younger and you would ask her what her favorite subject in school was, of course, her answer was physical education. She just liked the movement part. So she just loved being active, but she enjoyed being on a team and working with others. And that's really how she had met many of her friends over the years. She liked that connection with people, and she truly had a gift of just meeting people and making strong connections with others. In addition to that, she had quite the can-do attitude. She was very goal-oriented, and she was very good about figuring out what she needed to do to succeed. Along with that, she had a spirited energy. She was always up for anything, but positive attitude. But she also had a kind heart and just enough sass to keep me on my toes. If you told her she couldn't do something, she would do everything in her power to prove you wrong. She was certainly tenacious. And in fact, I'd say she'd mastered that skill. By at least my estimation, she was amazing, not just because she was later on a decorated athlete or a hardworking student, but like I said, she just had this gift of connecting with people everywhere she went, everywhere. She could strike up a conversation, and before you know it, she would be breaking out into a song or some goofy dance, and others would find yourself joining in.
So when did you know that maybe she was dealing with some mental health issues, or did you not know?
We really did not know. This was a complete shock to us. Haley did see a therapist, but our understanding was because of the time commitment that she had with her extracurricular activities and then, of course, a workload with school, Haley had a learning disability. So although she got great grades, it took her a lot longer than most to achieve those grades. And I'd like to think I didn't put the pressure on her, but that was definitely a concern for her. So she did attend therapy. That was really to help her figure out strategies to accomplish all that she wanted to do. Of course, like I said, she was always going, she was always moving, and she just needed to figure some things out.
You didn't know that there was obviously more to that?
No, we did not.
So how, I mean, you know, it's so hard to like ask this question because I would never want a parent to think, could they have done something? Because that can't possibly be good for you to think back to that. If you're talking to other parents whose children might be going through an issue or might have mental health issues, like what would you say to them?
Well, there is nothing that I play over, forgive me for getting upset. It's definitely something that I replay every morning. I wish I did know. And basically that is our message, is that part of the stigma surrounding mental health is. We think there's a look to it. We think people act a certain way, that they, you know, maybe hide in their rooms or they don't care about their appearance. Well, that's not the case. There are people who struggle with their mental health, and maybe they pride themselves on being the strong person and being the person who's there for other people. And perhaps it's just hard for them to reach out for help. That's really what our organization is about, is destigmatizing the conversation around mental health and trying to create opportunities for people to reach out. And if you're struggling, to know that there are people who care, there really are people out there, and we just need to make it easier to talk about difficult things.
How long after her death did you start Hope for Haley?
So Haley passed in, she passed in October 2019. And of course, that was before COVID. COVID hit in March. And my husband and I, throughout those months after Haley's passing, we were receiving messages, phone calls, text messages. We even had teens reaching out to us, calling us in the middle of the night through the Facebook app. Some kids we knew, a lot of kids we did not, but they were all willing to share with us, strangers really, to most of them, about struggles. And some were not what I would consider major issues. One girl called at 1:30 in the morning. Of course, my heart sank. My oldest son was a freshman in college, and I thought something, you know, had happened. And she just called and said that she was aware of my daughter's story through Instagram, and that her friends had gone out that night without her, and now there's pictures on Instagram, and she felt left out, and she just wanted to talk to someone about that. So I know I'm not a professional. I've worked with kids my whole life as I'm in education, but I'm certainly not a professional in the mental health arena. So it was that night my husband had said to me, Chris, we got to do something. You know, these kids are reaching out. They're hurting. They need support. Why shouldn't we do this? Haley loved people. She loved connecting people. So we want to connect people to resources for help if they need it. And so COVID hit, and I wasn't working. With that, we looked into what we needed to do to run a nonprofit, and we made it happen. We are just now celebrating 2 years. It has really been unbelievable, the response of our message and the support that we have received. It just goes to show that there is such a need for this.
Did forming the nonprofit help you cope with her death?
I will say in the beginning, it was very difficult. You know, I definitely was in the deepest of my grief. And to your point, like you said earlier, I don't know what Haley's story is. I still sit here today. And I think that's the thing with suicide. You don't know someone's story. You might think you know someone's story, but you really don't. And ultimately, if I'm going to put her name on an organization, I want to do right by her. And so I say, I don't know what Haley's story is, but I know that I'm here today. And I would have never thought I would be here today without Haley. I would have never envisioned living a life without one of my children. But I am, and I want to spare parents and other families and friends from this pain. If that means sharing my story, that's what I'll do. I really believe that conversations like this can save a life. I really believe that.
I had a friend whose son also died by suicide, and the first question I know when I heard was, well, why? You know, but
right.
you never will know why.
No, that's it. In fact, many of Haley's friends would say, but Haley was the happy one. You know, she was the one that when you walked in a room, if Haley was there, you knew you were going to have a good time. We have a family friend who says she checked all the boxes. You know, she got good grades. She was pretty. She had friends. She, you know, she had all these good things going for her. What could possibly be wrong? But that's it. You just never know. Everyone has good days and bad days, and we just need to let people know that others care and are willing to help.
how do we help parents not have to go through this? Is it talking about it and getting the word out to these adolescents that there are people out there to talk to and that this, that suicide is not the answer? Is that what you're saying? We just need them to know that they can talk about it.
Yes. Basically, we say the hope part, the hope for Haley is really hold on, pain ends. You just got to get through. And maybe someone is looking down the road for next year. But really, when you're struggling, it's hard to just get through minute by minute. And that's where we want people to reach out. If you need to speak to someone, if you need to go somewhere, we will help make those connections. We will provide resources. And in fact, thanks to our donors, we will help pay for that. We try to be in the community sharing our story. We had a car show just last month, fantastic outpouring of support, over 300 cars and motorcycles. And you may say, well, what does a car show have to do with mental health? But really, we're just trying to think outside the box and bring people together in the community to discuss mental health. So yes, we had a car show, but we also had speakers on mental health. We had resources at a table. And I will say that day alone, 11 people, I mean, the car show was what, maybe 3 hours, 11 people shared stories of someone they lost or their personal struggles of them contemplating suicide. 11 people at a car show. That's not where you think these conversations happen. We're just trying to provide opportunities, think outside the box, and make these things happen. And like I said, the response has been overwhelming. And I think that just goes to show how great the need is.
Tell me about Hope for Haley and exactly what the charity does.
Like I mentioned, thanks to our incredible donors, we're able to offer scholarships for mental health therapy for teens in need. We have clinical partners that will work with the teens and provide them the tools necessary to work through difficult times. Through our community events, we've attended things like National Night Out. We've gone into high schools. We're just looking to provide a space to connect with others. And you'd be surprised by us sharing our story, how many people are willing to share their story, not in a therapy office. We're talking out on the street with other people around. Pain is a powerful connector. And unfortunately, because I've shared my pain, I have come to know connections deeper than I ever have before. So like I said, in the community, we're doing the resources. We've held what was called a Dine with Your Mind. It was a dinner for, at that time, 60 people. And as they were eating, they were given index cards, and they could ask questions, any question they had about mental health, signs of anxiety, or how do I know that my child needs medicine, anything like that. And during dinner, we had therapists answer those questions. And the people in attendance were students. There were educators there. There were other therapists. There were survivors of suicide there, and there were other mental health organizations. For a topic that has been taboo, we are seeing people come together, and they're willing to listen and learn, and they're willing to share personal stories.
At what age do we talk to our kids?
And that's a tough one. I think it's important to talk about your feelings from a young age. Now, suicide may not be the topic, but I think it's important for kids to be able to express their feelings, and that needs to continue. I have often questioned myself, having been an early childhood educator, knowing that we talk about feelings with kids all the time. When does that stop? You know, at some point, we're asking kids to stop or stop crying, don't, you know, talk this way, or but maybe that's their release, and we need to find a way to harness that and just help them. So I think it's important, really, from the early years, just setting that in stone, letting them know that there are people who care, that you want to know when they're struggling. And if it's not you, to reach out to a counselor at school, a teacher, a friend, but they got to tell somebody when they're struggling.
Did you see the movie Inside Out?
I have not, okay. No. But I know the movie you're talking about. It's all about feelings, yes.
Correct. Yeah, it's all about feelings. And I recently watched it with my son, and he said to me, oh, yeah, music does really calm me down if I'm angry or upset. And I had no idea. I didn't know that. I mean, I know he likes to listen to music, but I had no idea that it calmed him down if he was angry or upset. And so I actually thought to myself, I need to talk to him more about his feelings. And if he is feeling angry or upset, you know, what it's about and what we can do. And, you know, yes, I'll put music on. What type of music? He's younger, but still wants to talk about his feelings.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We talk about a lot of topics that are difficult with our kids from a young age. We just tailor it to their age. So that's what I would say is we just have to talk about our feelings, and we need to talk about reaching out for help when we need it at any stage.
You have a golf outing that's coming up, and this is going to raise money for the organization.
Yes, this is our memorial golf outing. This is actually our third year, and it will be held on Monday, September 26th at the Spring Haven Club in Wallingford, Pennsylvania. This is our biggest fundraiser for the year. So there's still sponsorships and golf opportunities available. And for anyone who's not a golfer and you'd like to join us for dinner, we'd love to have you. There is information on our website, hopeforhallie, hallie.org. If you can't do any of that, we also are open to donations for raffle items.
And what about volunteers, either with this event or the organization in general? Do you look for volunteers?
We do. We are always looking for volunteers. Like I said, we just had a car show. We have the golf outing coming up in May. We also host a color run. So there's definitely opportunities for volunteers, whether it's doing registration at any of those events, or helping to really just do setup or cleanup. And really, even a volunteer doesn't have to be in person. A volunteer could be someone who is just helping to share our message through Facebook or Instagram and getting word out there. That's a great way to help us. It increases our reach.
I love those color runs. Where is yours?
So our color run is really a bittersweet place. We live in Swarthmore, and Haley grew up running track. The color run is held on the track where Haley first ran, really learned to run, and probably found her gift at a school in Swarthmore called CADES, Children's and Disabilities Educational Services. So it's really, you can see the field from my house. This is where Haley learned to run. And this last year was our first year, being that Haley was a two-time state medalist and a Penn Relay champion, I could think of no better way to honor my Haley girl than with a color run. She loved to have fun. She loved to bring people together. And those color runs certainly have all of that.
What was her disability?
She just had a learning disability, slow processing speed. So it just took her longer to figure things out. She was very bright, but it just took her longer.
You have two other sons, correct?
I do, yes. My oldest, Scotty, is at Rochester Institute of Technology studying video game design. And my youngest son, Matthew, is a junior at Strathaven High School. He's the goalie for the lacrosse team.
So what do you do on a daily basis now as a parent for you to get through your day, your week, your month, and your kids as well, your two sons?
Well, a lot of it is just normal day-to-day, like everyone else. And that's really the hardest part, because I feel personally my energy level. Obviously, grief is heavy. So I probably take a little more of a nap, take some more time sleeping than I did in the past. But I really just try to keep going. Like I said, Haley was active. She was always on the go. And I want to live with her spirit. So I try to embody Haley and really just keep moving every day. I may not feel successful every day, but I certainly try.
If you could give one bit of advice to our listeners, what would you say to them?
I would say, tell people they matter to you. We say life is precious, but I don't think we really understand that until you suffer a great loss. So when someone is struggling and it can be difficult for them to speak up, I would say, you know, share Haley's story and just let others know it's okay not to be okay. Again, the more we talk about mental health, the more we realize we're not alone. Like I mentioned earlier, I really do believe conversations make a difference and possibly save a life. And with that, you know, I would say that everyone has mental health, and it's just as important as your physical health. And if your mental health is failing, a lot of times it affects your physical health. So really, I would say check in with others. Send a text, call a friend, let others know that you care about their feelings. And hopefully, when they are struggling, they're willing to reach out.
Christine, thank you so much for sharing your story today. We're going to tell everybody to go to your website and sign up for the golf outing and help support the organization.
Great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time today, Kathy. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
For more information about Hope for Haley and the services they provide, or to register for the golf outing, you can go to their website. It's hopeforhaley.org, and it's spelled H-A-L-L-I-E. And if you missed any part of today's interview, it will be available as a podcast tomorrow morning on our website, 957benfm.com. Just one last reminder, like Christine said, make sure you talk to your kids and talk to them about their feelings, because whatever they're struggling with may seem little to you, but it might not be for them. September is National Suicide Prevention Month, and we are trying to do our part to talk about this and to make sure that people who may have suicidal thoughts know that that is not the answer and that there is help out there. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The Suicide Crisis Line that you can call from your phone is 988. There is also a crisis text line. You can text 741-741. And just remember that there are people out there, even if it's not one of these resources that I just gave. Reach out to somebody. Reach out to a family member, a friend, a coach, a teacher, a doctor, whoever it is. Reach out to them. They are there to help. We're all here to help. Suicide is not the answer. Thanks so much for joining me again today. I'm Kathy Romano. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
This has been Her Story with Kathy Romano. Her Story is produced by WBEN-FM in Philadelphia and airs weekly or on demand on your mobile device. Listen or subscribe at 957benfm.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.